Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I know that the music doesn't come through the live stream quite as nicely as it is in the room. I hope it was beautiful for you because it was certainly beautiful here. Again, my name is Bob Rhodes. I'm the lead pastor here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. Thank you to UPB folks who are joining us in worship, but also thanks to you St. Mark's folks who are joining in worship. I feel like it can be somewhat intimidating to join on another church's website, another church's live stream. It's my hope that you feel welcomed in this connection of these two congregations. I think our connections one to another are so important. And frankly, I just want to say a word of thanks to Reverend Lydia and Reverend Jerry. Not a lot of pastors would be open to this kind of collaboration. And your leaders are remarkable in their incredible joy of collaborating and working together. We've been going through this series on Dinah Butler Bass's book, Grateful, and we haven't necessarily been going, chapter by chapter through the book, but instead I've been using sort of bits and pieces from the book to inform how we think about gratitude during this Lenten season. And I confess that, well, in planning this series, we didn't expect to have to deal with a global pandemic. And so this is sort of a new experience, certainly for me, as I'm sure it is for all of you, that we have to look at gratitude perhaps through a more challenging lens. Part of this series is also guided by a video series that some folks in the PB congregation have been watching videos with the same author, with Dinah Butler Bass. And so as a part of that, we've been looking at the idea of gratitude through the lens of a table. In other words, the idea of a communion table where we have a choice to recognize God's gifts and the idea that the table is big enough for all of God's creation and to experience gratitude and express gratitude for those things. See, sometimes when we look at the world through a lens of scarcity, we have a tendency to think that that table is smaller. And Bass invites us to do just the opposite, to imagine that that table is bigger and bigger, to include all of our faith community and beyond. God's table is big enough. Today, as we begin this exploration of grace and gratitude and gifts, one of the things that has occurred to me over the sort of course of my life and faith is how radical the idea of grace is. I heard a story about a pastor who really, faithfully and authentically looked at a whole bunch of different faith traditions from Judaism and Islam and Hinduism and some of the other faith traditions in addition to Christianity. And what this pastor discerned is the one particular thing for this pastor that really stood out, the thing that made Christianity the right choice for this pastor, is the idea of grace. Now, if you're active in a faith community, if you've been a part of a faith community for a long time, maybe you already have a clear sense of what grace is. And maybe you've been active for a number of years and you don't have a clear idea of what grace is. Maybe you're new to any idea of faith and it's hard to discern exactly what grace is. I was in a workshop recently where we were talking about language, particularly language used by Christians that can sometimes come across like insider language, like language that is, it's only the things that we use, right? Who knows what a narthex is? Well, maybe some of you do, but someone darkening your church door for the first time isn't going to know where the narthex is. By the way, that's the entry to your church. If you're not sure what that is, that's what it is. But this workshop challenged us to say, we talk about grace all the time. How would you define grace to someone who isn't familiar with that church language? One of the answers that we came up with is this. Grace is the understanding that you are loved even when you feel like you don't deserve it. What does that love feel like? What does that love seem like? How does that love impact you and change you? And how do we find that understanding of grace in a time where we're constantly being told, day in and day out, don't get too close to each other. Don't touch. Don't be close enough in conversation that you might infect one another. Don't be close. We're in a time that I would describe as an in-between time. I received an email this morning that included a couple of articles talking about how this time of social distancing probably isn't just for a couple of weeks and could be months and months and months. I have other friends who are saying, this is just a couple of weeks and we're going to be back to normal. There are those who are on one end of an extreme and another end of an extreme, and neither of those two recent examples are even at the extremes. Most of us are somewhere in between those extremes. Most of us are somewhere in between the abject terror or the certainty that we're all overreacting. Where do we find grace in this in-between time? The probably first letter, at least in terms of chronology, the first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote was to the church in Thessalonica. And we read from this text today. The text is to a church that was in an in-between time. The entire letter is written to a church that likely has their own memory and their own real sense of time marked by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Remembering the teachings that Jesus would return and waiting for that to happen in their own lifetime. So this letter that Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica is a letter written in an in-between time. Do you see how thousands of years later we might still connect with this important text? Hear now from the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. This is the very conclusion of the book. I'll begin with verse 12 and conclude at verse 24. Brothers and sisters, we ask you to respect those who are working with you, leading you, and instructing you. Think of them highly with love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are disorderly. Comfort the discouraged. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure no one repays a wrong with a wrong, but always pursue the good for each other and everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't brush off Spirit-inspired messages, but examine everything carefully and hang on to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless at our Lord Jesus Christ's coming. The one who is calling you is faithful and will do this. As I've spent time in exploration of this text, it seems so relevant to us today. It is my sense, based on the country in which we live, that some leaders, we hear their voices and say, yes, that's the thing that I need to hear. And other leaders, we hear their voices and just want to plug our ears. You may have heard conversation recently from Governor Newsom as he has tried to lead the state of California through this pandemic. And you might be one of those people who has needed to exactly hear what he has had to say. And you might be one of those people who hasn't wanted to hear anything that he's had to say. On the other hand, our president has said a number of things related to this pandemic. And you might be one of those people who says, that's exactly what I want to hear. And you might be one of those people who says, I don't want to hear anything that he has to say. but we might be informed by these verses. We ask you to respect those who are working with you, leading you and instructing you. Think of them highly with love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. You see, in this time of social distancing, it can be easy to physically shame someone just because you disagree with their ideas. I see that on both sides of our political spectrum. It might be tempting to attack someone personally because you disagree with their ideas. And while I think it can be helpful and respectful even to have important and even vigorous conversation about differences in ideas, about best ways to handle tragedy, about best ways to handle a global pandemic, but there is no reason for us to insult one another, to put one another down, to attack one another, in our online parlance, to troll one another. Let us be a people who are respecting and working with all of our leaders. Now, this isn't just on the national and state level. You might have county leaders, city leaders, even leaders in your local church with whom you agree or disagree. But let us engage in these times with respect and care. Yes, with vigorous conversation on ideas. But do so with care and love for one another. The next verse, verse 14, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are disorderly. And the thing that comes to mind is those who are so overwhelmed with fear that they're buying all the toilet paper and the bread. And perhaps we might reach out to those who we see doing those things and even have the courage to check in. Are you okay? I see that you're buying an awful lot of toilet paper. Do you think that you might share with others? Comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one repays a wrong with a wrong, but always pursue the good for each other and for everyone else. Now, in this in-between time, I think it's difficult in particular to find joy. I think it's difficult in particular to find hope. And even in this time, friends, we are invited to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, but I want us to pay attention to that phrasing. See, the sentence is, give thanks in every situation, not to give thanks for every situation. I would find it incredibly challenging to read this text in today's world of COVID-19 and to think that I have to give thanks for this situation. I don't know if I can bring myself to do that. But I can bring myself to give thanks in this situation. I'm reminded of the Mr. Rogers quote, and if you're a member of the PB Church, if you got our weekly email, you saw a little video from Fred Rogers with this same quote. Look for the helpers. I'm reminded of the stories I've heard. I heard a story just the other day about an elderly man who was walking through the aisle in a major a big block store, and he was looking for toilet paper. As a person living on his own, he didn't need a lot, but this is the time of the month where he would always go out and get some toilet paper because he knew about how often he needed to go, and he went and he couldn't find any. He just needed a little bit. And as he began to, in a controlled way, weep, someone noticed and said, listen, I have more in my cart than I need, and let me give some to you. What kinds of things do we see, either through actions on social media, what kinds of things do we see when we ourselves are on a limited basis out in the world? How are we seeing the helpers? And does that give us an opportunity to rejoice always, to pray continuously, to give thanks in every situation? How about those who recognize there are neighbors, persons with whom they are connected, who should not be out in the world and who say, let me go to the store for you. Let me get you that to-go meal and bring it to you. Let me prepare a meal for you and bring it to you. Look for the helpers. I think in these ways we can see an opportunity to celebrate grace, to celebrate that idea of love, to celebrate those gifts. But even then, it may be hard It may be hard to find a place in our hearts for gratitude. I'm reminded by Diana Butler Bass that the root word for grace and gifts in both Greek and in Latin is the same root word for gratitude. And so, friends, as we experience this time, if we can find room in our hearts to know that there's room for grace, if we can find room in our hearts to know that there is space for gifts, if we believe that God's grace is in these times, if we believe that God's gifts are in this time, then we must also see that there is room for gratitude in this time. God's grace abides. God's gifts abide. God's gratitude for us and call for us and call for our gratitude are possible in this time. Friends, in this time of distance, in this time of wonder, in this time of in between, let us ask ourselves how we will spend this time. Will we hide out of fear? Or will we be people of grace and gratitude and gifts? I invite you, my friends, to be a people of light and of hope. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for your eternal love and expressions of grace and this gift we know as life. We thank you for the rain which nourishes the earth, the sunshine which warms us and promotes new life which blossoms around us. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick, those who are traveling and stuck at borders, and those who are struggling in their own lives during these times of social distancing. We pray for the first responders who still go to the emergencies, for those who work in our healthcare systems, for those who work in grocery stores, for those who go to work for essential needs, for the helpers who deliver food and necessities, and for those who offer spiritual guidance. We pray for everyone's physical well-being and emotional needs, that they will be strengthened by you. We pray for our hearts as we maintain distances from loved ones, friends, and neighbors. Bring us your wisdom and compassion as we reach out to make connections and encourage one another. We pray, Lord, for our worlds, our nations, and our local leaders as they guide us through this pandemic. And Lord, we pray for your forgiveness as we seek to do your will for our lives and the building of your kingdom here on earth. Help us to be better stewards of this world and of this life you have given us by your counsel and your word. And refresh us, renew us, restore us as we pray together in one voice the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.